Hi, I'm Jordan Raskopoulos, and this is about a group of independent theatre makers getting smacked down by the United Nations.
The audience gets more than a bargain for in a new play in Manila.
It is a social experiment. It's a theatre experiment where we question issues of violence, issues of morality and mortality among teenagers.
This story is set in the Philippines, but it all starts with a Japanese cult novel from the 90s, Battle Royale.
The novel tells the story of junior high school students who are abducted and sent to an island. They're told to kill each other until one survivor remains.
Sounds like The Hunger Games? That's because it kinda is. The Hunger Games was a total rip-off, allegedly. So, four Australian playwrights went to the Philippines to turn Battle Royale, the cult novel, into an indie theatre play. Their names are Sam Burns War, Georgie McCauley, Jordan Prosser, and David Finnegan. They're all telling the same story, so don't worry too much about who's speaking when. They're kind of like the Ninja Turtles. You know that one of them is the party dude, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter which one. By the way, this is Sam Burns War.
By the end of it all, we'd created this play, which had been performed a dozen times over a year to 4,500 people, developed a cult following online and in Manila. The show had been covered by international media news outlets. But when we left to go to Manila, we just thought we were going to go to this cool Asian city and make some art with some interesting people. What happened would then kind of take over our lives for the next, I guess, 3 or 4 years.
A heads up at this point, this story has swearing and violence. You know, it's a play about kids murdering each other, but in a funny kind of way. It's that hyper-violent, tongue-in-cheek, splatter, B-grade pulp murdering. Well, that's what the playwrights were going for anyway. They certainly didn't think the United Nations would get involved. David Finnegan continues the story.
I first went to Manila in 2006, and I was working for a theatre company there. A few years later, I got an email from someone called JK, who said, "Hey, I'm forming a theatre company called Sipat Lawin. We're graduates from the Philippines High School for the Arts, and we'd like to produce your script. Do we have permission?" And I said, "Absolutely, sure." So I came across to see the production, and I was talking to the director, JK, asking him what he planned to do next. He said, "We're thinking about doing an adaptation of Battle Royale, the Japanese novel by Kushan Takami." And at that moment, I had in my bag a notebook with my notes for a possible adaptation of Battle Royale. JK was like, "Amazing, synchronicity, can we work on it together?" Battle Royale!
I mean, it's fantastically enjoyable. It's your quintessential teenage pulp action schlock.
My name's Jordan Prosser.
It was then made into a very famous film, which was quite famously banned in numerous countries. A group of students are essentially kidnapped, and they're submitted to this secret government program, which is designed to intimidate the population. A group of school children are taken to a remote island. They're each given a weapon. They're given a time limit. They're fixed with explosive bomb collars that will go off unless they adhere to the rules of the game. And they're forced to kill each other until only one remains. Battle Royale. So Battaglia Royale takes the same basic premise and applies it to the Philippines. We renamed the characters, we relocated the action, we rethought the rules of the game to make it make sense in a Filipino context as opposed to a Japanese one.
We got there during the wet season, which means it's steaming hot all day, and then every evening around sunset it will pour with rain. We're on our way to meet the Sipat Lawin Ensemble.
We were heading towards this barangay that's like a neighborhood, a community right in the center of Metro Manila. We walk past all these banks in a row, actually. Every single one has this armed guard, pump action shotguns, pistols, the whole bit. On the wall outside these banks, there's this graffiti that says, "An armed society is a polite society."
And we approach this outdoor basketball court.
They've got a bunch of the kids, like the street kids from this area,
crumping, dancing, breakdancing to this song by Little John. called Out of Your Mind, which is full of swearing.
I recognise some of the sit-back guys. We obviously stood out. We were kind of the only four white people in the crowd.
Looking at each other, kind of with these strange expressions on our faces, like, is this what we're going to be doing?
And this is the first thing we see them do, is this amazing, ridiculous pageant in the middle of the slums.
Don't laugh, it's very serious. We're going to separate to either side of the room.
I'm Georgie McCauley. We kind of just started writing straight away, writing scenes to take to SIPART and workshop with them.
We would give the performers a set of parameters and say, all right, in this scene, four of you are going to meet. There's going to be a slap, a kiss, one entrance, three exits, a knife, a grenade. One person's going to end up dead. Kind of threw it onto the performers to build the scenes according to their sensibilities as well.
And what they presented to us was this really visceral, full-on scene.
With almost zero provocation, the actors ended up acting out a simulated rape scene.
They mimed hammering this girl's knees and they were pinning her against the wall and she was screaming out in pain and it was just so real.
It was really horrifying. You're giving them these props and telling them to find ways to murder one another.
If I'm honest, I was more worried in those moments for the other three writers because I had a longer relationship with the country and with the company. You know, when we walked out of there, and I remember sort of seeing Georgie a bit shaken or Sam being like, I don't know what this is about. What is this for? Thinking, well, how do I justify to these guys that what we're doing is worth it?
We knew it was happening in February 2012 and that there would be three shows.
I remember I was at home in Canberra on holidays, a world away from the Philippines and from everything that we did there.
The first picture we saw was the set, this field of scaffolding covered in glad wrap, and it looked like this dystopian jungle gym. And there is an army of audience members. There's hundreds of them.
People were just saying, we had 250 people last night. We had 450 people the night afterwards. We had 900 people last night. We had to close the venue.
SIPART Lawan were used to having maybe 9, 10, two dozen people at their shows.
I couldn't make sense of it. I was sort of, guys, I think this has blown up. I think this has gotten out of hand. This is really exciting.
It actually generated its own fan culture. People doing like manga versions of all the characters. People would go multiple times in a row to get the perfect shot, just capture that death scene perfectly. And it became almost like a sport amongst the audience to see who could get the most fake blood spilt on them. And the best way to tell was to wear a brand new white t-shirt. So people would jostle for pole position in the crowd and position themselves in the firing line. And then you have these photos of these girls like grinning for these selfies, being like, look, I did really good tonight.
An audience member and preschool teacher says she wasn't expecting the realness of the play.
You can actually see these live people dead beside you, some blood squirting on you. It was shocking, but great.
The SIPART guys I spoke to, they all seemed just like overjoyed and super excited. When I started hearing about some of the injuries some of them had sustained during the show, I was like, okay, this is pretty full on. Broken wrists, someone cut open their Achilles tendon and black eyes and broken arm and a cut leg. We didn't get a sense that was a negative thing. That to me seemed that they'd committed as much as we'd seen them commit on the devising stage, and that was them taking it to their fullest extent. From what I saw especially, it was a really, really positive thing.
And then I started getting emails from cast members. And one of them said, we are having real trouble. I'm having nightmares. What can we change? In the book, there's this kind of hero's journey through line. There's a couple of kids who buck the system, buck the rules of the game, break free, break the game, get out and have this sort of heroic finale. And we all felt as writers that that wasn't fair, that given the structure of the setup, we wanted to follow it through to its conclusion. And we wanted to see what happens when one student's left standing at the end of the story. One of the first things that I got an email about was saying, Can we change it so that there's a message, like a call to action or some kind of justified finale that actually sort of says, we think that you should do this? And of course, every single bone in my body was like, no. By the third run, the actors were speaking up about the kind of impact that the show was having on them. And JK decided that one way to help tackle that would be to get in Dr. June Pagadwan. She'd just been appointed to the UN Subcommittee for the Victims of Torture. And JK asked her to come along to the show and see if she had any thoughts for the actors about processing the experience. And the next thing we heard from her was that she wrote an open letter condemning the show. Merchandising brutality were her words.
I go where most of the audience are. I can hear laughter and jeering. I see two people, one on top of the other. I think it's a sex scene until the girl below convulses and goes limp. I ask Marshall what happened. He says in a very cold manner that the girl's throat has just been slit. With the lifeless body of this girl left in the parking lot, the audience is asked to move to the next location. I tell my friend, this is desensitization to brutality. I asked, what is the redeeming value of the play? She admits, none. 1 hour into the play, I've had enough. I'm horrified, disgusted, angry, alarmed, agitated, traumatized. What kind of debriefing was a director asking for with regards to the actors? Are they ready to reflect on the consequence of their creation? I am told this company is known as an experimental theater company, whatever that means. So they have the license to do anything in the name of art?
We'd written the script, so they were kind of doing what we wrote.
I couldn't process how this ridiculous pulp action saga could be having this impact on the performers.
Okay, here's the thing. It's Jordan again, by the way. There's been a steady state of civil war in the Philippines since the 60s.
The Moro Islamic Liberation Front, MILF, was accused of recruiting, possibly forcing, young teenagers to fight for them.
Officials. It's a long history of conflict involving multiple armed rebel groups who've been accused of recruiting child soldiers and forcing them to fight.
Muslim separatist rebels in the southern Philippines have been accused of recruiting child soldiers.
Dr. June Pagadwan from the UN Subcommittee for the Victims of Torture, who saw the play and hated it, has worked with people traumatized by the many conflicts in the Philippines.
It's a conflict which has already cost around 120,000 lives over the
So a Filipino coming to see this graphic play about kids killing kids would have grown up surrounded by all of this, civil war, a massive death toll, and the fact that Filipino kids are being kidnapped, armed, and forced to kill one another. For some living in the Philippines, there is still a constant threat of violence. Okay, let's get back into it. This is Sarah Salazar, one of the actors from Batalha Royale.
All right. Well, the first thing that everyone tells you in Manila is, lock your doors. It's not safe. People get held up twice in a day. They don't file police reports because the police just don't care. Women don't wear shorts because they might get raped. My uncle was killed in his living room last year because of either political or business reasons. I attended the wake of two of my schoolmates who were political activists. They were probably taken by the military. They were probably tortured. They're probably dead.
It wasn't until I got there and saw what they were going through to put it on each night that I had a sense of actually what it would be like to be in it.
And this was the season when I think two of the shows in the run had to be called off because of the rain. It was monsoon season. And then the other shows went ahead in about a foot of water. At the very start of the show, all the kids are there and one of them stands up and protests. And the teacher, sort of the arch villain, just shoots her in the stomach. So you've got, you know, starter pistols going off, fake blood spraying everywhere. All the kids grab their weapons and scatter. And you're supposed to somehow weave your way through all this and find a story that you can connect to and watch. But really, it feels like you're in a war zone.
There was a scene in which an audience member is given a gun and invited on stage to kill a performer. I think if you tried to do that in Australia, the audience would just say no, and you wouldn't go there. When JK told me they were going to do that, I didn't know how it would play. But instead of reacting with hesitation, audience members were fighting for the chance and cheering when they got to shoot a performer in the back. That felt not like what we'd expected. And again, thinking about it, if we'd known that that's what was going to happen, we probably would have written a slightly different script. We held a forum to talk about Battalia Royale, what it had meant to audience members, critics, performers. There was one story told by Brian Joseph, who's from Zamboanga in Mindanao in the southern Philippines.
When I watched it, the feeling was anger because it made me go back to this experience in 2001 when our family was awakened by gunshots. I'm shaking. And we were held hostage for like a few hours. We were crying, we were shaking. And when I saw the play, the anger surfaced and I was so mad. I felt like it was November 27, 2001 all over again. Somehow, after the play, I realized that the reason why right now I'm really involved with peace advocacies and all, because I don't want that experience to happen again. So Battalia Royale made me confront with my fear, anger, and somehow give this strong feeling that I have to continue to let people know that peace is very important.
There was a part of me that felt like we got carried away and we got excited with the whole notion of being international playwrights, and I don't think we were irresponsible. We never pushed people to do things they didn't want to do, but we also didn't foresee some things that I think we could have, or we didn't have some conversations that maybe we could have had. I never regretted it though. I never felt like it was a bad thing to do and that we shouldn't have done it.
I think I was very, very quick to blame myself and blame us. But then that's doing a disservice to the enormous amount of control and thought that went into it on Sipat Lawan's behalf. It was still their show. We adapted a book, yeah, but it was their show. It was their statement. It was their piece of work and their phenomenon when it happened.
This Is About is produced by Belinda Lopez and Jesse Cox. This week's episode was adapted in collaboration with Jordan Prosser, Georgie McCauley, Sam Burns-Waugh and David Finnegan from their stage show Kids Killing Kids, first performed at the Melbourne Fringe Festival. Original music and mix by Marty Peralta. Additional music by Terry Devine King and additional mixing from Mark Don. Editorial help this week from Sophie Townsend. This Is About is a new podcast of stories told by those who lived them. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. If you like us, leave us a review and tell your friends to subscribe, download and share. If you don't like us, better shush. You can also watch and read more about the production. Just head to the RN homepage. I have been and will continue to be Jordan Raskopoulos.